to be given by Jim Vanderslice from the University of Utah. But Jim couldn't get his travel approved to be here, but in his place we have Ellen Yard from CDC, and she is actually from the program at CDC that funded Jim's work on this. So, Ellen?
Well, thank you all for sticking around for this presentation. I have the pleasure of presenting on behalf of Dr. Vanderslice. I will do my very best to present his work accurately. So he tried to model where you could find elevated nitrate, arsenic, and uranium in private well water across the U.S. And I do want to just say that I did not do this work myself. I'm not going to take any credit for it. And thus, CDC has not reviewed or endorsed or cleared this material. This is completely on behalf of Dr. Vanderslice. So I'm going to talk a little bit first about how the University of Utah was able to first figure out where the private wells in the U.S. are located. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about the model that they developed and then show you some of the practical applications of the work that they perform. So as all the speakers today have mentioned, about 15% of the U.S. population is served by private well water. And we know that many of these private wells do have elevated levels of contaminants such as arsenic and nitrates. But because they're not required to be tested, a lot of times the people that are on these well water systems don't even know that they might be elevated and have levels of contaminants. So Jim sought out to develop a model to predict where in the U.S. you might find elevated levels of arsenic, nitrates, or uranium. So that way, state or local public health departments can use these maps that he's developed to try and target interventions or programs that they might have for doing work with private well owners. So first off, the first thing he had to do is they tried to figure out, well, where are the private wells? As all of you know that work with private wells, it is almost impossible to figure out where the private wells are located. So they figured out, okay, well, private wells are where people are, of course, right? So they started with the U.S. Census data and used that as kind of a rough guide of where people are. But except you kind of had to take a scalpel and say, well, it's not just where the census blocks are, because some of these areas are represented by deserts or areas where no people would be living at all. So they started with U.S. census blocks, and then they specifically looked at where the roads are, because they knew that houses would be located along roads. They kind of took a buffer area along the roads. They removed areas that would not have had private wells, areas where there's either zero population or areas that have a really steep slope, like that would be mountainous. They also removed areas that had really, really high density. So if you had a, you know, dense apartment in Manhattan, an apartment building, it's probably not served by a private well. So first they kind of mapped out their best estimate across for every single state in the U.S. They mapped out where they think the private wells are. So this just shows some of the states where private wells are a little more dense and some states where they're a little bit less dense. So for example, you can see here, this is Cumberland County, North Carolina. So, you know, they estimated that there is, you know, probably fewer private wells in the city area and more in the rural areas of that county. So then they worked on modeling. So in this presentation, I'm going to talk about two of the models that they did. One of them was called inverse distance weighting, and the other one is CART. So inverse distance weighting, the way that works is they look to see, for a particular well, they look to see, well, what are the values of arsenic at the wells that are close by that well? And then they, for any given well, they would assign it a probability of having, you know, elevated arsenic or such based on what the levels are at the wells nearby it, and the wells that are closer give a higher weight than wells that are farther away. So that's the first method they used. The second method was looking at specific geochemical characteristics at the site of the well. The source of their data was USGS data. They used, there is a data set of about 375,000 wells, and these wells had data on their physical properties and different geochemical characteristics of that area. So they ended up with about 43,000 observations for nitrate. So this is across all of the U.S., about 90,000 observations for arsenic, and about 88,000 observations for uranium. And this was all used to build their model. Then for the modeling technique where they looked at the sort of the characteristics at that site, these are some of the variables that went into the model they developed. So for nitrates, they looked at what are the sources of nitrate applications. They looked at the agricultural application of nitrates in that region, septic tank data, the yearly atmospheric deposition of nitrate. They also looked at rainfall, irrigation, whether it was an urban or a rural region, the well depth, physical characteristics, and soil. They looked at a lot of information to put into this model. This is just one example of one of the data sets they used for getting the characteristics of nitrate. This is crops data, and this is a county in western Wisconsin, and I'm not sure how well you can see it here, but crops data has, I think this is like 30 square meters, and this is mapped out for the entire United States. They have in like these 30 square meter areas, they kind of classify what the land use is for that little small area. And then based on the land use, they were able to assign what they think the estimated nitrate application is in that particular 30 square meter area per year. For arsenic and uranium, the predictors were different geological characteristics, such as the aquifer that the well is tapping into. They looked at the groundwater chemistry, such as the pH and the iron concentration. They looked at precipitation, evapotranspiration, different soil characteristics around the well. And this is important because, like, for arsenic in particular, you have to really look at both the pH and oxidizing level of the water, because you can't just say, okay, at a certain pH, you're more or less likely to find arsenic, because it really depends on the interplay of both the oxidizing potential and the pH of the water. And they dichotomized the outcome. They weren't going to try to model it on a continuous scale, because that would have been very complicated. And also in the U.S., we typically just want to know, are they above the cut point or below the cut point? So for nitrates, they use a cut point of 10 milligrams per liter. For arsenic, they use 10 parts per billion. And for uranium, they use 15 parts per billion. The way that the classification and regression trees model works, so I said that there's two different models they use. One was the inverse distance weighting, where they look to see, you know, for any particular well, what were the values of the wells around it. The way that the classification and regression trees model works, they basically look at all these different factors, the different geological factors, and they say, okay, you know, what factor does the best job of predicting arsenic level, for example? And then once you find that factor, what factor does the next best job doing it? I'm not really going to have time to go through this chart here in detail, but I will say that for arsenic, they found that precipitation minus potential evapotranspiration was the number one predictor of kind of arsenic in the CART modeling. And then after that, depending on what level you had, you know, either iron or pH was the next most predictive factor. Then after that, pH came more into play. So basically, it really was a really neat modeling method that kind of goes step by step and looks, you know, step by step of what's the best predictor. So when they compare the two different models, the inverse distance weighting and the CART, they actually both did pretty well. Neither one was statistically better or worse than the other at predicting arsenic, nitrates, or uranium exceedances. And the way that they validated their model is, I talked about all these observations they had from USGS, the 375,000 observations. They used two-thirds of them to build their model, and the other third they used to test the model and see how accurate it was. So they found, on average, the area under the curve was about 0.83. So did relatively decent job. So this is the actual practical application of, okay, so they did all this work, now the so what? So the so what is that now they have available to anybody that wants to see this. They have a website. This can be emailed out. But there's a website now where you can go to this website and you select your state and you select your county and you can see a map of where it is predicted to where the wells are most likely to have elevated levels of arsenic or nitrates or uranium. So there's a different map for each of those contaminants. I'm not even sure if there's Wi-Fi here, otherwise I could try to go to it, but I'm not sure if I have time, so maybe we can go back to that later if there's time later. But I'll show you an example of what some of these maps will look like. So this is Washington County, Oregon. So the gray areas here are the private well use areas. These are the observed arsenic levels. So every one of these circles, the circle is around a well that had an actual arsenic level. And then I think this is like a 3-kilometer radius around that level. And then you add on top of it the expected frequency of having arsenic above 10 parts per billion. And this is based on the geological characteristics that they were able to gather for these wells. So the map would look something like this, where it would show you both the available arsenic data, and then on top of that, kind of the expected arsenic level based on their modeling. This is just another example. This is Clarion County, Pennsylvania. So you can see there is about 3 wells sort of in the middle of that county that had very high levels of arsenic when they were tested, of over 50 parts per billion. And then you have, the rest of the county has some of them have some observed values, some have predicted values. But if you were a public health practitioner in that county, you know, if you wanted to do some type of an outreach program, you know, you could use this to decide where you might focus your resources. This is an example of a uranium map, same principle where it shows you both the actual values as well as predicted values. This is a nitrates map. These are a little more populated, a little more information on the characteristics that go into that model. His next step is they are now using the information that they got both on when they were trying to map out where the private well use areas are and using the information that they have now on the predicted levels of arsenic and uranium and nitrates in those areas and using the population of the areas. They're now trying to do some work on estimating, you know, how many people in the U.S., how many private well users in the U.S. are possibly drinking water that has elevated levels of nitrates or uranium or arsenic. These are just some more maps. This is actually the slide I'm looking for here. So this shows, for example, this is all preliminary data, but this is their next step, what they're working on right now. So, for example, for the state of Colorado, they estimate that only 2% of the population in Colorado would be, on a drinking well with greater than 50% likelihood of having high nitrates, as compared to Wisconsin, where they're estimating that 24% of the private well users in Wisconsin have levels of nitrate, almost 50% likelihood of having elevated nitrate. And they are going to be working with Oregon and California on some next steps on kind of trying to do some, kind of a couple of things. One is doing more validation of their model. You know, since they were looking across the entire U.S., they were using data that was kind of nationally available from USGS, but they are interested in working with different states on a more targeted, more targeted models based in either that state or even just more validation of their information. And so they're working with Oregon and California on that. And if others are interested in either sharing their data or working with them, they are interested in continuing to do either more refined modeling or also doing better predictions of their modeling. And, of course, their maps and their products are free for anyone to use, and they're going to be, continuously trying to improve that based on, further work that they do. This work was funded by the Center for Environmental Health at CDC, and the data were made available by USGS and EPA. Jim wants to always show a picture of his students that spend many, many, many hours just looking at the mapping data and trying to put all this together, without which this work could never have been completed. And thank you for your time. Jim's contact information is up there. I'm happy to try to answer questions, but Jim would be the best contact if you either have questions about his the details of the modeling, if you would like to be potentially interested in working with him on doing some specific targeted work in your area. You're happy to contact him, or I'm also happy to take questions. I will, yes. I'm not sure if it's an easy way to do it, so let me just kind of go back manually. There it is. I'm sure there's probably a way to, email this out. Maybe not, but.
I do have a question, just a little bit about the model, and I may have missed it, but I'm wondering if the model, does it assume that sort of anyone who isn't hooked up to a public wells or public water system is on a well? One of the issues we have in Alaska is there's a lot of people that have a tank and they don't use a well, they just get it filled up. So I'm wondering if you could speak to that. Does
Miriam, she knows a lot about this work as well. Do you know the answer to that question, Miriam? So the question is, did the model assume that anyone who is not hooked up to public water is hooked up to a private well?
The answer is yes.
Thank you. Let me see if this actually works. I don't know if there's Wi-Fi here.
Well,
it's not internet.
I guess the opposite question is, does it take into account the fact that people who aren't hooked up to a private or a public system might not use a well?
No, it does not take that into account.
So I just wanted to say real quick, thank you for coming and sharing Jim's important work with us. It's very interesting and very helpful, and I appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm honored to be able to present on his behalf. He did a lot of work, him and his students and his other collaborators worked for a long time to do this model and produce these maps. And so I wish there was internet access, but it's really neat. And you all hopefully will be able to check out this website once you're back in your workstations, but it's hopefully going to be a very useful tool for those working with the private well population.
I'll speak loudly. Did you mention how he selected the chemicals of concern?
So the question is, how did they select the chemicals of concern to include in the modeling for arsenic and nitrates and uranium? I could give an assumed answer, but I really don't know. I don't want to say the wrong thing. So I'm going to just say that I don't know. But unless Miriam, unless you happen to know. But
I can't really speak for Jim, but I do know from the Private Well Initiative work group that was occurring a few years ago, been a long day, that those were the three constituents of concern out of the work done by that private well work group.
Thank you.
Lori from Michigan.
Hi.
Really nice study. I've seen an earlier version of this, and I'm excited to maybe do some validation with our Michigan arsenic data. But I had a question about sort of the time frame. So do you have a sense, is this supposed to be a snapshot of current water usage? What I'm thinking of, I know in our state what we've had is there's a lot of like legacy wells where, you know, public systems have sort of grown up, you know, around, subdivisions have grown up around, and there are people still using private wells. And I wondered, is this a model using, you know, supposed to be kind of a picture of what's going on now, or is there, do you have a feeling for the time frame, or maybe is that a question for Jim?
That's a really good question. It's probably a question for Jim. I will just say that the USGS data he used, some of those observations were back a couple of decades, and just because some, you know, that's the best data he had access to. So I'm afraid it's probably not necessarily a current snapshot, but just sort of accumulated over time. Miriam, do you have anything to add to that?
So that is a very large data set, and most of it's the largest portion of it is actually uranium data. So it's over decades, and a lot of it is actually from monitoring wells. So it's not just private wells in that data set. So those are some of the issues with it, but it's still very useful and very important work.
Yeah, I think my question was more in terms of where the private wells were. He's sort of assuming in high population areas it's all public wells, and I think we've observed in some places in Michigan that areas that used to be low population that have private wells, there's little pockets, and even more so with the SEPTA, which is a whole other issue. But I'm sure we all struggle with that, but thank you for presenting. It's really interesting.
Thank you.
Hi, this is David from Alaska Cancer Institute again. I can tell you that in Alaska, there's 1,448 active public water systems, and arsenic is a problem here in Alaska because of our highly mineralized soil. But there's surprisingly only 11 systems that exceed the arsenic MCL.
According to this map thing, or
according to Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation.
Mm. It'd be interesting to compare that to the maps that are on the site and see how that links up.
That's public water systems, not private.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Well, thank you all for your time today. I appreciate it.